Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, a dad's point of view, and our very special show, which is simply called The Money Show. I am here with Jim Scheinberg, the managing partner of North Pier Fiduciary Management, and we are now going to talk about the energy of money. Now, I don't quite know what that means, and Jim's going to explain it along with a special guest. Go, Jim.
Well, I'd like to introduce Weston Jolly. Weston Jolly is a man who is a coach of a different kind. We talked to Paul Bob Bielek earlier today, who clearly coaches his constituents on matters of financial and family matters. Weston is also a coach of that vein, except he approaches it from a different set of cards, if you will. And so I've had the opportunity and the privilege of both hearing Weston lecture as well as working with him one-on-one, and I can tell you, he aligns in a way that I never thought years and years ago that I would say is an incredibly important piece of the story of money. So with that, Weston, is there any other way that you would like to describe yourself besides a coach? And I call you an intuitional coach, but you also are very much a coach of energy.
Well, Jim, thank you very much for the introduction. And certainly, Jim, I find it a privilege to work with energy and all the different forms. And, of course, money at its root level is just that. It's just the means of exchange. So the way that we exchange energy and the way we would shake hands, we would embrace, or we would exchange in a transaction is ultimately all the same. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, Weston, you know, one of the things that I've found to be so fortunate about working with you and knowing you these past several years is you really dovetailed very nicely into something that I found to be true after working in the financial services industry for about 17 years at that point in time, which is when I look back at all the key things that really, really made my career a success, and most importantly, the advice I gave folks like Bruce along the ways, they weren't all the research that I did solely. It wasn't based on being smart or going to Wharton. What they actually were really based on at the end of the day was really strong intuitions about key things that were going on in the world. Now, since you and I've gotten to know each other, I've learned a lot more about what that is and how that impacts finances for me and for other people. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I think the intuitive feel is imperative, something a lot of people sometimes will tune out. In the business world, sometimes it's referred to as a gut feel, and that seems to be an accepted terminology. It doesn't really matter what it is. But becoming in tune, if I can use that terminology, with business, with the exchange of money, as our topic today, is really important because a lot of people have some real mixed emotions about what they feel with regards to money, meaning they'll say that this is something that they want, and yet they won't necessarily follow through with that with what I will call the energetic complement. So if we have an ask without the energy being at one with that ask, and certainly the ability to receive it becomes very challenging.
So, Weston, how do you help people who are maybe sending mixed messages out into the world of money and the energy of money? How do you help them realign with, I mean, everybody says, oh, I want to win the lottery. I want to make a lot of money. But at the end of the day, sometimes, like you said, there is that conflict. How do you help your constituents align their real wants with actually receiving?
Well, let me give you a perfect example. I was speaking in New York, and it was before a small group of people, probably 50 or less. And I asked the question of the whole group, who here wants to become wealthy? And, of course, everyone in the group rose their hand as if I had asked them to do so. And I asked them again the same question, and everyone rose their hand, and I pointed to a person in the front row that I had never met before. And I said, that's not true for you, is it? And she said, well, of course it is. I want to be rich like everybody else. And then I was very stern with my follow-up, and I said, but that's really not true for you, is it? With a little bit of a pause, she came back and she said, no, I really don't want to be rich. And she was really had a lot of emotion behind it because she grew up in an affluent family. And all she really wanted to have was a relationship with a partner, a house and a car, and a nice family that she felt that she didn't have as a result of growing up in affluence. So that's a perfect example where someone's saying the conditioned answer that they want to be rich, and yet there may be values or bases or energies that are completely opposite of what it is that they're saying.
Well, it's interesting. You hit on something that I know you and I have talked about a lot, which is conditioning. And we are conditioned to think certain things are going to bring us fulfillment, happiness, and money. you know, one of the things that I've revealed to you in the past is that it was remarkable that my personal journey with wealth and money actually materially changed after I changed my attitude about money. And in fact, I didn't really make much more year over year about 2 years before I changed my attitude about money than I did afterwards. But yet, for some reason, my wealth accumulated substantively, and all I really did was relax and become more comfortable with the concept of having more and allowing that to take place. And I know for after 20 years of diligently analyzing and coaching and planning, to have something that seemingly esoteric influence the picture is shocking. But in fact, it really did. And I can tell you that I've seen this with my friends and I've seen this with my associates as well.
That's really great. And I want to laugh, but in a positive way, because of course, many times money has associations based upon the conditioning and how you were trained by the family that you grew up in or even in what part of society. And so when we get rid of, you asked me the question earlier, what can we address in terms of how can I help somebody? And that's very specific to becoming aware of the resistance. Like I gave in my example, she wasn't necessarily aware of the resistance that she was carrying and presenting, and yet that was a whole presentation that I built upon for the whole room to become aware of how do you become aware, not the group, but how do you individually become aware of any resistance that you have. So you'll see resistance in not having what you want, and or you'll see resistance, as you were describing, Jim, in a plateau.
Well, Weston, I hate to cut you off in a seeming little resistance here, but we're unfortunately the clock is resisting us. You've added so much to the equation, but obviously there's so much more to be said. Can you tell the audience how they can reach you if they want to continue the conversation?
Certainly, and I appreciate the opportunity to both you, Jim, and Bruce this afternoon. My website is Weston, W-E-S-T-O-N, Jolly, J-O-L-L.com. I've been doing this for now 15 years, and I come from a business background, and certainly I've added a spiritual connection that I bring to those people who are wanting to become more aware. So I thank you.
I would love another time to have a discussion about spirituality and money. It seems like odd bedfellows. But thank you for your wisdom and what you brought to the show. We're going to be back after these messages with a final segment on mature life and retirement. I'm not sure they go together, but we'll see. So stay tuned.